This is the Grind It Podcast. We know just like grinding a handrail or across a coping can be challenging at times, so can life be. We share God's Word and personal stories to encourage you to keep grinding and to not give up. It's time to grind. So here's the old school skateboarder himself, Randall Tucker.
Verse 13 says, James says, and remember when you are being tempted, so we're going to switch gears here. Remember when you're being tempted, do not say, so he's talking to poor people and rich people, right? When you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God has never tempted anybody. God does not tempt to do wrong, but he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Mm-hmm. What is death? What does Romans 6:23 says? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death is a separation. What happens when you die? Mm-hmm. Your soul separates from this earthly, fleshly
tent.
Right? So there's a separation. There's a difference between testing and temptation. You agree with that or not? Mm-hmm. Right? God tests our faith. I think your ESV said trials in verse 13.
This is trials.
Yeah.
And the NIV says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me.
Yeah. Because tempting is... It's evil.
It does say tempted.
Yeah, but it back up or in the verses prior to that, I think it says trials.
Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under the trial.
Yeah. Yeah, so New Living says testing. But God tests our faith, right? He will test our faith, but he will never tempt us because temptation is with evil, right? Temptation, because if we give into temptation, it brings forth sin. Which sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death, separation, right? When sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So God would never tempt anybody to sin. Mm-hmm. But he will test our faith. Because when our faith is tested, like James said at the beginning, when we come through it, our faith
refined, pure gold.
Grows. Yeah, it grows. Our endurance grows, right?
And the footnote here says that... The verb in verses 13 and 14 refers to temptation that tests one's moral strength to resist sin. But because God is holy and his very nature is holy, there is nothing in him for sin to appeal to. And he doesn't tempt anyone else with that either.
Yeah. I mean, think about Jesus in Matthew 4. When the Spirit led him out through the wilderness, Satan came and tempted him with the lust. The devil's been doing the same thing ever since the garden. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those three things. And we just keep falling for it over and over. Because we're weak.
Right. But Jesus was victorious. Whoop, whoop.
Never sinned. Not one time. But this difference between testing and temptation. For testing, I thought about Abraham and Isaac. In Genesis 22, right? God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. It's a test. Are you going, Abraham, I gave you this promise. Many nations are going to come from your loins. How's that? I'm too old. I can't have kids. My wife can't have kids. They laughed, which is what Isaac means. He who laughs.
Laughter.
Yeah. And so God says, I want you to sacrifice your son, a promise that you have now. And he's a teenager by now, I guess. And they get up to the mountain, and what does Abraham tell his servants? He says, me and the boy.
The boy and I are going to go over there and worship, and we'll return to you.
Yeah. Which shows that Abraham has faith that God's going to do something to intervene. Mm-hmm. We're either raising him from the dead or something, because Isaac's the son of promise. And so God says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah and go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So I mean, if you go read it, it's in Genesis 22. You can read the whole story there. But it's God testing Abraham. And, you know, so can you imagine being Isaac? The woods being, you know, stacked around there, fixing to build a fire. Starts the fire. And Isaac's looking around and says, well, where's the sacrifice? you're it. Get on there. And God even allows Abraham to raise the knife to kill his own, you know, his own son, his only son. And then the angel shows him and says, whoa, stop. Don't kill your son. And then God provides the ram, right? He says, now, God says, now I know that, you know, you'll do anything. So tests builds our faith, right? Mm-hmm. Temptation destroys our faith, mm-hmm. if you think about it. Because like we briefly mentioned a while ago, sin separates. There's a separation. I didn't use my notes a while ago, and I've got 1 John 2:16 in here. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Turn these stones into bread.
Right.
Jump off this pinnacle of the temple.
Here, I'll give you all these kingdoms.
Yeah. It's the same stuff today. So temptations, James says, when given into, temptation becomes sin, and it breaks us down. It destroys our faith. Here's the thing about temptations. We don't have to give in.
Mm-hmm.
Because God makes a way of escape.
Right.
And it's as easy as saying no.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy, is it?
It's simple. It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not.
But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And again, it says that my words commonly used describing hunting methods used here metaphorically of how evil desire operates. That we are dragged away, and that's what I tell, you know, especially new believers. The enemy's MO is always to isolate you, to separate you, and to make you think that you're the only one.
Yeah.
You know, and that's generally how he operates, is to drag you away and separate you and entice you with things that look good, right? How did he begin it in the garden? Right?
With
the fruit. She saw and, ooh, wouldn't that taste good? And you'll be like God, right? Wasn't that the temptation? Like God's hiding something from you. God's withholding something from you. Don't you want that?
And he got her to focus on the fruit that she couldn't have.
Right. And that's how he drags us away and entices us. I'm thinking like a mouse trap, you know? What do we do with a rodent trap? You know, we put bait in there and set a trap, hopefully to attract something, that because they're going to be so focused on that thing, you know, whether it's a piece of cheese on a mouse trap or whatever, right? That they don't realize that they're so focused on that thing, they don't realize it until too late that they've been trapped. They're drawn away by their own evil desires and enticed. And then when that desire has conceived, when it's given birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. But it starts with the desires. And this is why the word tells us, right, to take captive every thought, to make it obedient to Christ. Because when we take it that captive at the thought level, then it doesn't become action. Right? It doesn't lead us away. Yeah. It doesn't take us away and entice us and pull us away from others or pull us away from fellowship. If we take it captive at the thought level, we don't have to worry about the sin and being full grown leading to death. But if we don't take it captive and we just let those thoughts run wild, right? I remember hearing somebody, you know, you can't help birds flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. You know,
yeah.
I mean, thoughts are going to come. Thoughts are going to come that are from ourselves. Thoughts that are inserted from others, from media and things that we watch, things that we expose ourselves to. Thoughts are going to come as fiery darts from the enemy.
Right.
But then there are thoughts that come from God as well. You know, you can't help the fact that the enemy is going to throw some things at you, or, oh, what you saw the other day, even if you didn't mean to, and I flipped the channel really quickly, you know, there are still things there, and you can't help the fact that there are memories or thoughts there, but you can keep those things from making a nest on your head,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go back to what you're saying. I want to go back to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while ago, we concentrate on death and being separation, but what's a wage?
Something earned.
Something earned. The wages, the thing that you earn because of sin, is death.
Mm-hmm.
Separation. It separates us from God, right?
Right.
But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. So we earn death.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wage. We earn it.
Mm-hmm.
The wages of sin is death.
We don't have to work very hard for it.
But, no. But what does Paul say? God gives us a free gift. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we earn wages, but God gives a gift. And Paul says it's a free gift, but is it a free gift?
It cost him a lot.
It cost him everything. It cost him his life.
Well, and truly pain. It costs us as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to be willing to pay that same ransom, if you will. Take that same cost. Right, because he calls us not just to take it on as an additional, right? But that we have to lay down our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We have to say, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
And I have to be willing to give my life for the cause of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Do you know what it says? I'll top you in. You are bought with a
price.
You're bought with a price. So it cost Jesus everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're saying, we're called to get on that cross ourselves. Take up your cross daily and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
So the wages, we earn a wage. We earn death. We earn separation. But while we were separated, while we were enemies, Christ died for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, God does offer us, it is free for us, but it costs him everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to do to, if somebody gives you a gift, what do you do with it?
You just receive.
You receive it. But a lot of people say, well, you know, you don't have to do anything to be saved. It's not true. Because if I gave you... I gave you a gift, and I'm standing here holding the gift, and if you don't reach out and take it, I'm just going to stand here and hold it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do something to mm-hmm. receive this gift. You have to reach out and take it, and then let it be a part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. We are releasing the sound, cause the
lost generation to be found. All you Grind It Podcast listeners, I know you enjoy some good music, but I want to tell you about some awesome music. Now, my friend Mary Gamboa, she's also the worship leader at the church where I worship, called Authentic Church here in Alcoa, Tennessee. We'd love to invite you to come out and check us out sometime when you get a chance. We start at 10 a.m. and we're on Lindsay Street here in Alcoa. Mary has produced a new album called Jealous, and you can check that out anywhere music is being streamed. But you can also check it out at marygamboamusic.com. That's Mary, G-A-M-B-O-A, music.com. Go check that out.
Temptation not only comes from the devil, but it also comes from our own desires. Our flesh, right? Our evil desires. That's what James says.
Absolutely.
Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. I always think of the Bugs Bunny cartoon. Remember they dangle the carrot out in front and, mm-hmm. and they're always chasing the, the carrot. Because he's enticed by the carrot, right? Mm-hmm. So he's chasing after the carrot. Well, that's what Satan does. He knows what we like, what we love, and what's going to get us to sin. Mm-hmm. And so he just dangles it right out there in front of our eyeballs.
I thought of that old commercial with that little old man holding the dollar with the fishing pole.
Oh, he almost had it. Ooh, he almost had it. That's a good one.
I don't know this one, but...
we'll have to YouTube it.
Okay.
So, what do you desire? Mm-hmm. Worldly stuff, or, you know, it goes back to what you were saying earlier. Where's your treasure? Mm-hmm. What do we desire? Do we desire worldly stuff, or do we desire Jesus? Do we desire what, you know, nice things? And there's nothing wrong with having nice things. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But is our treasure here on earth, or is it in heaven? Do we treasure stuff on this earth, or do we treasure a rich relationship with Jesus? Mm-hmm. Right. And our bank account, by the way, will tell us exactly where our heart is and where our desire is.
Well, in our generation, it was said, if I look at your checkbook, I can see where your heart is.
Yeah, now it's your bank app.
Right, now it's your banking app, yeah. Right? Because most younger people don't even keep a checkbook. So, yeah, if you see where does your money go, where do your resources, where are they typically spent, right? Mm-hmm. You can see where our heart is, and those are the things that can entice us into sin.
Yeah. All right, so let's put all this in context before we finish up chapter one with what we're talking about today. Troubles are coming at some point. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. Troubles are coming. God will help us if we ask, right? Without doubting.
He'll give us wisdom.
He'll give us wisdom. And when these troubles come, don't let it destroy your faith by doubting and returning into sin, right? Stay faithful. We have a choice. Mm-hmm. Either turn to sin or keep trusting God. If we endure, even if it kills us, when we take our last breath, we're going to be given a crown of life. So there's hope, right?
Come on. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Verse 12, he says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Mm-hmm. Which is coupled right along with Revelation 2, 8 through 11. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. That is this message from the one who is the first and the last. I'm about Jesus, who was dead but is now alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty. See, there it is. Your suffering and your poor. Your poverty. But you are rich. Jesus says to that church, I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they're not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer, the persecution, right? Mm-hmm. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days. But if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. So trouble's coming. Stay faithful. Mm-hmm. You will get a crown of life. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. Right. So let's finish up with 16 through 18. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Talk about both rich and poor.
Don't be deceived.
Mm-hmm. You know, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. You know, when we lay out on our hammock at night and stare at the stars and the moon, and I'm always like just in awe. And we're looking for the comet that we haven't seen yet. God created all that stuff. It's pretty cool. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession.
What?
So God never changes, nor does Jesus. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, so God never changes. There's a lot we can say about that, but for time's sake, I want to ask this question. What's a shadow? There's no shadow of turning. I am yearning. DC talk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's a shadow? Because James says he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. What is a shadow?
I'm trying to think from, like, how do I describe this?
Yeah.
It is the absence of light, usually produced by an object that is between a light source and the place that you're focused on. So this microphone right here, there's a shadow here. It's not a physical something that takes up space, but I can see its shape. I can perceive it's there because the light source is there and the object casting the shadow. So it's a lack of light there produced by the object that stands in front of the light.
Yeah. You almost got it word for word what I put in my notes. I said a shadow is the absence of light because the light is being blocked. Like the other night, we're laying in the bed and the light from my battery charger from my heated jacket that you got for me for Christmas, remember? And the light, it's the only little light in the room, it just kind of lights up a little bit, and I started making shadow puppets on the ceiling.
And we said, don't quit your day job.
But the light, the battery charger was the light source.
Mm-hmm.
My hands blocked the light, and it made a bird on the ceiling, and I did an alligator and a dog barking.
Fun times.
It's a shifting shadow. But God doesn't cast a shadow. Now, think about this. Seriously. God doesn't cast a shadow because he is light.
Right. He is light. In him there is no darkness. No darkness. At all.
That's 1 John 1:5. That's what I got in here.
And we all with unveiled faces reflect his glory.
Ooh.
We are the ones that are supposed to be
beholding
his beauty, his radiance, his glory. And we are supposed to be shining with his.
You are light.
Light. Right? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth.
Don't block your light. Don't hide it in a bushel.
Right.
No. I'm going to let it shine. All right. So think about this. In other words, no shifting shadow.
Mm-hmm.
God can be trusted because he's good. He is faithful. His word is true.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot lie. Right?
Right.
Numbers 23:19, Titus 1:2, Hebrews 6:18. God is for us, not against us. Romans 8:31. He is not out to get us or make us suffer.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us with the greatest love ever, and he has given his son for us that when we do blow it, when we do sin, and kind of separates us from him a little bit, we can be forgiven because we have an advocate with the Father. Mm-hmm. If we're washing the blood of Christ, right? And James says that he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Pretty cool.
The apple of his eye.
Mm-hmm. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession.
So you can go to 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
I went to John chapter 3, the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus explains it to him. You must be born again. Won't you come? Won't you come?
Thanks, Billy.
So that's it. That's verses 9 through 18. Pretty cool that even though we were enemies, even though we're sinners, that when we're washed in the blood of Christ, that we are God's prized possession.
Mm-hmm.
God really does love us. He really thinks a lot of us.
Right.
Enough to die for us.
And I was listening to a Ben Stewart message the other day, and he said, you know, the value of us as human beings is not what we think of ourselves, but it's based on what somebody would pay for us.
Mm.
It's the price that someone would pay for us. So my value has nothing to do with how I function in society. It has nothing to do with what I can generate, if I can work or if I can't work. It has everything to do with how much God was willing to pay to have fellowship with me. And that was worth his own son.
Mm-hmm.
And to Jesus, that was worth his own blood.
A lot of pain.
That's where our value comes from. Not from what other people think of us, how many likes we get on social media, not how many people buy my album, you know, not how many people like our podcast, right? It is based on how much he was willing to pay for us. You know, a Picasso is only worth a lot of money if people are willing to pay for that Picasso.
And if they got the money to pay for it.
Right. Right. But if my five-year-old comes to me with a work of art that says, I love you, mommy, you know.
You got a five-year-old? I didn't know that.
No, I don't currently. But I'm just like, saying, if. You know, when think back to when your children were small, whether it was a macaroni necklace that they brought to you, right? Or some kind of drawing. Hey, this is me and you, daddy. You know, those things are priceless. And what would we not give for those moments because it came from our children?
Right.
Yeah. That might not be worth a whole lot to Shelby because they weren't her children. But we'd pay for them,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so our value, our worth is not based on how we see ourselves or how others see us, but it's what God was willing to pay for us.
It's good.
I was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Won't you pray and we'll be done?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that even in the trials, even in the tests, even in the temptations, we have your word. And it remains true, even if everything else around us changes, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. You are full of light, and you desire fellowship with us. Thank you that you don't test us. You don't tempt us with evil things. But help us to come to you in those moments when we do feel tempted. When we feel drawn away and enticed by our own desires, help us to come to you and say, help!
Yeah.
Give us wisdom to seek out other brothers and sisters in Christ to pray with. And give us wisdom to come to you, the author and finisher of our faith, knowing that you can and will deliver us. Thank you that you value us enough to pay the price for fellowship with us, your only begotten Son. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for the hope that you give. And whether rich or poor, we all desperately need you, Lord. Help us to cling to you in those moments when we feel tested. We ask for all of it by your Holy Spirit and in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. Before we go, I just want to say, if you are struggling with sin or temptation or anything that we could pray for you about and encourage you in any kind of way, listen to the outro because there's a phone number that you can text us with or the email address.
Hmm.
And I can't remember the number off the top of my head, so you have to listen to the outro. But the email address is thegrinditpodcast@gmail.com. And we will definitely be praying for you. And we will answer whatever questions you have. But any way that we can encourage you, just let us know.
Mm. Amen.
God bless you. Keep grinding.
Thanks for listening to the Grind It Podcast. If we could pray for you or encourage you in any way, please email us at thegrinditpodcast@gmail.com or you can text us at 865-418-2824. If you're watching on YouTube, please click like and subscribe and you'll be notified about new episodes. If you're listening on an app, leave us a 5-star review, but most importantly, share the Grind It Podcast with a friend. God bless you, and remember, keep grinding.